Okay, tonight is probably the best chapter, depending on how you look at it. John 20. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then, following him, Simon Peter came also and entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple who had reached the tomb first, then entered the tomb, saw and believed. For they still did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went home again. But Mary stood outside facing the tomb, crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look back into the tomb, saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus' body had been lying. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? What is it that you're looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have removed him, tell me where you put him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "for I've not ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what he had said to her. In the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathering together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But one of the 12, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I'll never believe." After 8 days, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be an unbeliever, but be a believer." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Those who believe without seeing are blessed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have your word to read. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us as we study. Make us good disciples. And help us to spread your word everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this chapter contains the resurrection. Next week, we're going to end with the epilogue, which is the little bit that Jesus had after he was resurrected. Each of the various Gospels have a little something after the resurrection. Some not much, some a lot. Well, the first thing we see, John emphasizes that the empty tomb brought him to believe in the resurrection. That he had not really gotten it before that, but when he saw this, it made him believe. So the women come to the empty tomb. They were apparently unaware that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had prepared Jesus for burial, because it says they had spices and they were going to take him and they were going to wrap him properly and they were going to do everything just right. They get there and they find the tomb empty. So they're going, "What's up here?" It's unusual because it was guarded by the Romans, who notably were not there anymore, and had a really big stone. Like I say, in another gospel, we have a description of how this took place, where this huge angel shows up, scared the soldiers to the point that these rock-hard, well-known combatants just passed out because they were so scared.
What gospel is that?
And then he would do what?
What gospel is that?
Yeah.
Which gospel one is it?
I think it's Luke.
Okay.
Either Luke or Mark. Okay.
And this angel had moved the stone. And in another gospel, I'm not sure which one exactly, you have a discussion amongst the women as they're going out there about how are we going to move this freaking stone. And you're thinking, well, my first thought was, how are you going to get the Romans to let you move the stone? But that's a whole other thing that was already taken care of. They assumed that this had been grave robbers. So they went to Peter and told him. And so he and John take off for the tomb. John got there first, but he wouldn't go in. Peter never hesitated. He went straight in. That's the way Peter was. He was a jump-in kind of guy. Now, the grave robbers looked like he had just passed through them. That they had just kind of dropped from wherever they were. And so they find the face covering in a separate place. Now, this is very interesting because in Jewish restaurants, if you're going like to the bathroom or you're going off to do something, whatever, and you're coming back, you fold up your napkin and set it on top of your plate. If you're done, you just wad it up and set it right in the middle because you're done, and so you wad it up. So he folded up his face covering. It's like, I'm coming back, guys. And then he appeared to Mary. After the disciples left, Mary looks into the tomb, and she sees two angels who ask why she's crying. And like we saw in the one quote in the when we're doing worship, there's one of the Gospels, it was Mark, I think, is the one that they had there, and they said, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He's not here, he's has risen." Which I think is just about the greatest thing anybody could ever say. But at any rate, she still thinks he was stolen. So she sees Jesus but doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. But when he says her name, she knows. Because he said, "My sheep recognize my voice." When he called her, Mary, she knew as Jesus, I know this guy. She says, he says to her, don't cling to me, but go tell the disciples that you've seen me and that it's okay. I'm going to come find him later. And then he had an appearance to the disciples. Now they're scared because of all the stuff that's been going on. So they've gotten inside this same upper room they had the Lord's Supper in, and they've locked the doors. And Jesus just suddenly appears. Now, one of the most interesting things that I read in my little commentaries was, if you look at Luke, you see that the first thing Jesus did was he meets these guys on the way to Emmaus who are leaving because they're all disappointed. They killed Jesus. Oh no, the whole thing's going to, you know, just go to places. And he talks to them and explains it to them. And then he breaks the bread for them. When he breaks the bread for him, they know that it's him. And so then he disappears. And I've always wondered whether he didn't just disappear and poof, he appears back in Jerusalem in the upper room. I mean, this is Jesus. He can just do whatever he wants to. But at any rate, he just appears. And the first thing he says is peace to you. This is a thing that's a theme through John. I'm not going to give you a lack of conflict and stuff. I'm going to give you the ability to get through it. I'll give you the peace. So he says, my peace to you. And then he commissions them to be apostles. Apostle comes from the word apostolos. It's a Greek word that means royal messenger. So he's telling them, you are my royal messengers. Go out and tell everybody about this. Now, some people think the next thing he says that they can confer forgiveness. But actually what he said is that they can confirm forgiveness. If somebody has repented and have turned to Jesus, then they can confirm, you know, okay, you've given your life to Christ. You're saved. That's one of the things we always try to do, is we try to let people that we've led to the Lord know. Okay, you'll hear Franklin Graham on the TV. If you just prayed that prayer, then you're saved. Call this number. We'll discuss with you about it, and we'll tell you the steps you need to take next. So you can confirm the fact that someone has been saved. You can also confirm that they're not saved when they reject Jesus. We can look them square in the eye and say, you have to receive Jesus as your Savior. That's all you have to do. He's already done everything that needs to be done, but you have to accept it. And if you don't, you just lose it. Thomas still won't believe unless he sees, because Thomas is this practical guy. Remember, this is the same guy who says, oh well, he wants to go to Jerusalem, let's go to Jerusalem and die with him. But when he sees, it's on his face. He knows that this is the Lord. He hasn't stuck his fingers in there or anything yet. He just saw him. And once he saw him, he knew. It was right there on his face. He knew. And then John says this book was actually written for the purpose of testifying to Jesus. He says there are lots of things I could have written, but I didn't.
Yeah.
But these are written so that you will know the truth about Jesus. So what does this all mean to us? Well, we need to believe what Jesus told us. He had told them a lot of times he was going to be crucified. But it just freaked them out when he got crucified. He had told them, don't worry, I'm coming back from it. I will be resurrected. But they didn't listen. They never got it because they weren't listening. It was not what they were looking for. We need to be ready for his return. He could come at a moment's notice. When he does, we don't want to be doing something he wouldn't like. That's what people always tell us. But I always think of it, I want to be doing something he'll be proud of. So he'll say, good servant. We need to be close to him so we know his voice. When he calls to us, we need to know it's him. When the devil tries to tell us something, we need to know it's him and not do it. And we need to tell everybody we come in contact with the good news. Because it says Jesus is coming back when the full measure have come in. And we don't know what that number is. So we need to just keep racking them up until we get there. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We just ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Make us your people. Make this your church. Help us to serve you well at all times. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming, guys.